Your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. We'll get you a Bible. I don't say that enough, so raise your hands. If you need a Bible, we need a Bible up here. And they'll bring you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at home, you're welcome to keep that Bible. All right, let's stand up. Open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I was going to move on to chapter 8, but I decided there's a word I want to talk about here. Or actually, I think the Lord wants us to look at. So verse 28 and 29, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So let's talk about authority this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Thank you that the things it says are true and right. And Lord, I pray that this morning we get a glimpse. We may already know this. We may already understand this. But Lord, let us see the authority that you have. And Lord, may we respond with our lives accordingly. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. I asked the first service, which it was pretty good service, but the batteries didn't work, so it's not recorded. So, got to try it again. I'm just kidding. Who has a problem with authority? I'm going to start it that way. Anybody here ever had a problem with authority? Okay. If you're a child, you've had a problem with authority. That's a promise. Okay, so let me ask this. How many adults here today still have a problem with authority? Okay, some do, some don't. Maybe some aren't going to say so. All right, but it is that the sin nature of man makes people despise authority. I was just thinking on the way up here, Jude, if you go to the book of Jude, and this isn't on the screen at all, but we'll get started in a minute. I was thinking of a verse. He's talking about false teachers and wicked men, the book of Jude. But he says something about these apostates here. He says, verse 5, he says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh." Now listen to this. "They reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries." And it goes on. So a sign of these apostates that Jude's writing about is they reject authority. And ultimately, they're rejecting who? God. His authority. Now, think about that. When people deny the word of God, or they deny God, or refuse to obey him, what are, in a sense, they are rejecting authority. There is an authority given to us that's laid out in scriptures, and the one that is in charge ultimately is God. And so, in our text here, we see at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, while Jesus was ministering here on earth, that some things are said about him. One of those, he astonished people with his teaching and his understanding. And so I thought about this week. Where were some accounts in the scriptures where that took place? Well, let's go back to when he was 12 years old. Luke chapter 2. Now, you're going to follow along through a lot of scripture this morning, so have your Bible ready to go. The verses are on the screen and they're also in your bulletin. Luke chapter 2. Let's go to verse 41. Now it says, "His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Isn't that amazing? I'd like to know what the significance of 3 days there is. That's everything's threes or sevens. But they found him sitting in the temple in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. That must have been quite a thing. If they would have only known who was asking them questions, the very one that was the author of all the Word of God. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. That's incredible. Okay? So they were astonished at the things he knew, his understanding of things. Let's look to Mark chapter 1. Let's go to Mark 1. Mark 1. And verses 21, Mark 1, 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Quite a deal, Jesus walking into the synagogues to teach. That must have been incredible to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him actually teach. Now, we can get a sense of it in the word, but to verbally hear him would have been a pretty amazing thing. And they were astonished, look at verse 22, at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, as not as the scribes. That's also said at the last verse of the Sermon on the Mount, which is verse 29 of our text today. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, we're going to come back to that verse in a little bit, okay, when we talk about his authority. Look at Mark chapter 6. Go to Mark 6, verses 1 and 2. Mark 6, verses 1 and 2. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed at his hands?" Okay, so what we're seeing here is the people, every time Jesus taught, they were astonished at the way he talked. What he was saying, the things he understood. It's the same as our text this morning, as I said, Matthew 7, verse 29. Go back to there, and you'll see the very last words of this passage. "For he taught them as one having authority, and not," notice this, "as the scribes." Okay? So, Jesus has authority, but it's not like the scribes' authority. So I was thinking, okay, Lord, what are you saying there? Well, the scribes had the authority to interpret the scriptures. Okay? They could only go off of what was written. "Thus saith the Lord." They can interpret that. They can teach that. They had authority to do that. But with Jesus, he spoke as one who had the right to make the law. Okay? He would do such things like that. It would be showing if, let's go to, let me just give you one verse here that might show that. I took most of these out this morning, but I'm gonna just jump back on one. You don't need to put this on the screen, Dave. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. You'll see things like, "Take heed," or things like, "But I say to you," things like that, okay? That is Jesus when he's making a command. He's not just interpreting things. He's saying, "You have heard it said, but let me say to you." Okay? In other words, he's making command. He's making law, he's making Look, you understood it this way. This is how it really is. So the scribes can interpret it, but Jesus could make it. So he has authority like no man has ever seen before. Now, does Jesus have the right to speak with such authority? Does he have the right to have authority? You'd say, yes, okay. Why? Now, I'll answer this a little bit later, but I want to hear some of your reasons. Why does Jesus have authority? What gives him that right? What's that?
Because God said.
Okay, because God said. Good answer.
He is God.
Jeff, who said that? He is God. All right.
The word.
He's the Word. Okay, good answer. What? Go ahead, Mark. Yes, absolutely. All these things are true. So if that's all true and he has all authority, and we'll get to that, should we give heed to the things that he says? Why don't we? That's the question. If he has all authority and then he says, and everything he says he means, then why is it that we don't do what he tells us to do? So don't say, Lord, you have all authority on this side of our mouth, and on this side we're saying, but I don't have to do it. Because if that's true, then should we obey his words, which are the scriptures in front of us? Should I obey all of it or just some of it? And what does he have authority over? All of it or some of it? Then so we have to ask these questions. If God's really in charge, and I'm not, then why don't I obey him? And each one has to answer that. I believe this, the authority of Jesus needs to be recognized by and followed by everyone. I'm going to put everyone in that category, especially those who profess the name of Christ. If you're calling yourself a believer this morning and we don't submit to the authority of God, there's something wrong there. Usually it's rebellion on our part. Doesn't mean we don't believe. It means I'm still trying to control my own life. Now, let's talk about authority, because it's just one word that goes with the character and the power, if you would, of God. But it's a very important word. And I just couldn't fly by it into chapter 8 and not talk about authority. Because how I view Christ, now listen to me, how I view Christ's authority says so much about my relationship with God. If I don't recognize him as the one in charge, who has all authority, it says something about my walk. Because God exists, and because man, not being God, he is subject to that God. We are not gods. We are not in charge. Now I want to take you into some passages in the scripture that where this shows Christ's authority over us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. Now these are things we may know, but it's important that we look at them again and again and again and again. Sometimes we just need to be put in our place. Okay, so Genesis 18, let's go to verse 25 is going to be the verse we're looking at. Far be it from, now this is Abraham talking to God. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, think, why did he use that verse? Because the one that is able to judge all the earth is the one who has all authority. Does he have authority over us? You and I aren't judges of the earth. We can't judge all things. God can. So he is the one who has authority. He is the judge over everything. Now let's go to Romans chapter 14. Again, we're thinking about the authority of the Lord. Romans 14. And I'm trying to use passages that don't necessarily have the word authority in them all the time. But here's Romans chapter 14, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. All right? For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now, no one has the right for that to happen to unless that one has all authority. Okay? Can you see the recognition of the authority of God here? That every knee someday is going to bow, or every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue will confess to God. Now look at verse 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay? There comes a time where we have to give an account to God. Why should I give an account of my life to God? Why? Because he's Lord, he has what? All authority. You know, surprisingly, I'm going to have to answer to God. Hello? Are you? I have to even answer to God for you. Please don't make my life difficult. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, rich in wisdom. Here's a man who had everything. Everything. And he sums life up in one great verse. Verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here's life defined to the best. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. It doesn't, you know, you get to the end of life, nothing matters, people. Not one thing matters if there's no fear of God and have kept his commandments. Nothing else matters in this life. Verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. But you know, I was thinking about that. I praise God that my sins are dealt with. Amen? That there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. No condemnation. None. It's gone. The blood of Jesus Christ has paid for all of my sin. All of it. If there's one that's not paid for, then I'm doomed. It's all paid for. Every bit of my sin. However, I still have to give an account for what I've done with my life as a Christian. Which is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 5. I have to give my account of those things. They're treasure based. I can lose treasure or I can gain treasure. But my salvation is secure. I still have to give an account. So, listen. You ever thought about what gives, it says, for God will bring every work into judgment. What gives him the right to judge? He has the authority to do so. I want to keep bringing us back to this. He ends the Sermon on the Mount saying he taught with authority. Listen, everything he said in all the weeks we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, he meant them. He's not going to change his mind because we don't like what he said. He meant it. Let me show you another. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Romans 2, verse 16. You think about the authority of God when it comes to judgment. You see a verse like this. Let me back up to verse 14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are law unto themselves. This whole text is talking about the righteous judgment of God. Who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now here's another picture that Jesus, who has all authority, he's going to judge the secret thoughts of men. Not the things that everybody sees, but the secret thoughts of men. And so he has authority. Now how can anyone read such verses and not realize that we are under the authority of God? There is somebody who we have to answer to. Now, there's many people through the scriptures who have recognized his authority. Let me show you some. Hebrews chapter 1. Go to Hebrews 1. Must have been quite a deal in heaven. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Let me go to verse 5. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let the angels of God worship him." Okay, now why am I sharing that verse? Because to show that the authority that Jesus Christ has been given by the Father, or that he deserves, what's the response from the angels? Worship. Okay? They're gonna worship him. And listen, they're not just worshiping Jesus at the resurrection. They worshiped him all eternity, or when the angel, the hosts were created. But even at his birth, they're worshiping him. He has all authority. He's in charge. He deserves worship even from the angels. Now, let's go to Mark, back to Mark 1. I told you we'd go back there. Mark chapter 1. The demon-possessed man. Mark chapter 1. Okay, verse 23. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Isn't that something? You mean the guy's coming into church? Fellowship? He's got demons in him? Yeah, don't look to your left or the right. Satan can hide himself even in the pew. Isn't that amazing? Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him, and he cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him. Now look at the authority that Jesus has, that he tells demons, and they don't sit there and say, "Well, give us some time, we got to pack." You know, or I don't think that's going to happen. Jesus speaks with authority and the demons respond. Look at that. I mean, you cannot miss that. That authority. Which one of you and I can speak to a demon and say, "Leave"? Listen, Paul did. But on the authority of the name of Jesus, not on our own. The seven sons of Sceva, remember that? The passage in Acts said where the demon, they tried to cast out these demons because Paul did it, and what happens? They say, the demon responds, "Jesus I know and Paul I've heard of, but who are you?" Listen, you better have the authority of Jesus behind you before you do something stupid. Right? But the authority of the name of Jesus, that even a demon recognizes that authority, recognize who he is, and they respond accordingly. Look at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7, the picture of the redeemed in glory. Can you imagine what that's going to be like someday when this is a prophecy about all of us someday being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine for one moment what that's going to be like? And here you see it right here. This is it says, after these things, starting in verse 9, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. What is that going to be like? That is amazing. Clothed with white robes. There's our robes of righteousness, redemption, having been redeemed. And it says, with palm branches in their hands, finally recognizing Him as Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. And says, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Look at the praise of one who is due worship because he has authority. What an incredible time that will be. Incredible time. Now, he has all authority on heaven and on earth. The Bible does tell us that. Go to Matthew 28, the Great Commission chapter. Matthew 28. And before his ascension, Jesus declared this of himself. He didn't declare it of someone else. He declared it of himself. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Now notice what it says here. Let me get there real quick. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, let's define something here, the word all. What does the word all mean? All? Complete? He has complete authority. Notice the Bible does not say Jesus has some authority. He has all authority. Where? On heaven, or in heaven, and where? On earth. So, no matter what you see going on in the world today, there is only one in charge. Okay? He has all authority. Well then, Pastor Dan, why do things happen like they're happening? I don't know. Ask him. He has all authority. He uses everything for his glory. For his purpose. The world isn't revolving around the President of the United States. It's not revolving around our Congress or any other nation's leaders. I don't care how much authority man thinks he has, he still has to answer to the one who does have authority, which is Christ. All authority in heaven. Now think of that for a minute. The myriads and myriads and myriads and myriads of angels. If God wanted this to end anytime soon, if he got sick of all of it, if he wanted to change his mind, but praise God he doesn't, he could call myriads upon, one angel could kill 50, 60, 70,000 people in a minute. What would legions do if he said, I'm done, get rid of all of them? You think our nation that we think is so mighty and powerful sometimes, and praise God it is as far as man thinks about it, but it's nothing compared to the power and authority of God. He could get rid of it. He could get rid of it. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. The authority that Jesus has. Verse 20, let's go to verse 20. Let me back up here. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now listen to this. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now that's very important that you see that. Those are not just words written on a paper to tell you, well, where is He sitting? Whenever there's a king, whoever sits at the right hand of a monarch has the complete power of the nation he rules. He's given that authority. He represents the king. Or in this case, Jesus has all authority and He represents God in all of His doings and decisions. That's a unique place that only belongs to Christ. The right hand of the Father. Listen, I don't care what Joseph Smith said one day, that he sat at the right hand of Father and Jesus sat next to him. That's blasphemous. Or whoever would put himself there. Listen, Jesus has the sole right to that position. He has all authority. Now, what does that look like? He's far above all principality. Now, that's a ruler. You know what? Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and He has authority over every world leader today. All of them. They are doing what God wants to happen. We don't like it sometimes, but that's the facts. There is one in charge. And the dictates come out from His throne, and He says, this will happen the way I want it to happen, at the time I want it to happen, the way I want it to happen. He rules above every principality and power. You'll notice it says power there, or authority. That's another word for that. Everything in authority, both in the heavens and on earth. And look at this. And might, and dominion, okay? So every nation, in other words, He has complete authority over all things, even down to every name that's named, including ours. I know we think sometimes as men and women, we get prideful and we think, you know what? The world revolves around me. It's all about me. It's me, me, me. But His name is above my name. You know what? The fact that He even pays attention to me, that He even would bend an ear to want to hear what I have to say, is solely from grace and mercy. If He didn't have grace and mercy, listen, I don't care what you think. I don't care. I don't even want to hear it. I'm God. Praise God He's given you grace and mercy. You can even walk boldness into His throne to have His ear to listen to you. Oh, Lord, what a good God You are. Because you don't have to do that. He's far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Even the new name we're going to get in heaven is not anything in comparison to the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Who runs His church? It's not me. You're not my sheep. You're His sheep. You don't have to, you know what? It's not like you, like a religion out there where man has built this religion that you have to go into a box and confess things to men. Right? That man is a man. He is not any different than you. Praise God for that. Because the things that man's speaking are not from God. As you may have heard this last week, that particular man in Rome that professes to be the single mouthpiece of God just said this week that evolution is true. And creation is wrong. And creation never happened. And that, what does God think He is that He can wave a magic wand? Out of His own lips. Wow. I guarantee He's not talking for God. 1 Peter chapter 3. Go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 22, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. And so He is ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's His title. That's what you'll see on the side of His thigh when He returns. When the skies open up and the skies recede, and here comes Jesus on that white horse in His title, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. What a great day that will be. Now why, so this leaves the question then, why does Jesus have such authority to Him from the Father? Why, what gives Him the right to that authority? He's the creator of all things. In matter of fact, John, somebody brought this up when we were just talking about this a minute ago. John chapter 1. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. The book of Colossians chapter 1 would say all things were created through Him and for Him. This is Jesus He's talking about. Jesus was there at creation. Jesus was the author of creation. All things were created through Him and for Him. Nothing here in this account says, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He has the right to that authority. Anybody who can create out of nothing, in my book, has the right to all authority. When was the last time you and I created anything out of nothing? I said in the first service, we can't even color a color book and stay in the lines with crayons. Jesus creates out of nothing. That's incredible authority. The second thing is that He's the heir of all things. Go back to Psalm chapter 2. This is a prophecy in Psalm chapter 2 about Jesus and how He would have a triumphant kingdom. But there's a verse here in verse 8 that says, ask of Me and I will give you. Now I'm reading from a New King James, so they capitalized some things here. The you being capitalized and the me being capitalized. So what you have here is Jesus asks from the Father and He will give Him something. Okay? Here it is. The nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. So can you see the authority in Jesus in that the Father gives Him the nations? My Father's given me a lot of things, but He doesn't have the power to give me the world. He gave the world to Jesus, the nations to Jesus, the ends of the earth as His possession. Who owns it? Who owns it? Jesus owns it. The Father gave it to Him. And everything on it, including us. Wow. So He is that heir. He's the only begotten Son, appointed heir of all things. And as the heir, Jesus has the authority over what has been given to Him. The third thing is that I think gives Him the right to speak with all authority is because He's the only Redeemer that there is. Nobody else could redeem us from our sins. He did. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. And notice what it tells us here. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, He has done these things by the shedding of His own blood. He's earned that authority by what He's done. So as our Redeemer, Jesus has authority over those who have been purchased by His blood. Does He have authority over you? Yes. If He bought you and He paid for your sin, then He has authority over you. It would be smart for us to submit to such authority. I think of the verse, what is it? I think it's Luke 6, I think. That's not in the bulletin, but Luke 6. Let's go back to Luke 6. I think it's Luke 6, verse 46. Yeah, that's it. That's before Luke's account of building on the rock, which we talked about last week. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say? See, as Creator, as heir, as Redeemer, Jesus has both the inerrant right and the earned right to speak with authority. And that's what's being said about Him in one single verse of our text this morning that says, let me go back there, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Can you see the authority of Jesus as He spoke? Now, dare we live today without recognizing such authority? It would be a fool's move. We walk out of this place today, we got two options. Well, I just heard a bunch of words about the authority of Jesus. You know what? I'm really the governor of my life. And, you know, I can do anything when I want, how I want. And I don't have to answer to anybody. Or you can recognize that Jesus is all authority and we have to answer to Him. And we begin, even today, if it's never happened in your life, to start bending a knee to the will of God and saying, not my will, but Your will be done, because You're the one in charge. I think we should govern our life in such a way while we still are on this earth. Amen? Father, thank You for this word about Your authority. So much more could be said, Father, about that. I just want to recognize this morning, Father, that You are in charge of all things. And Father, I also admit that I have not submitted to that many times in my life, but I thank You for Your grace and Your mercy as I confess that to You, Lord. You've forgiven me of those things. I praise You for that. Lord, I and others, we need help in always submitting to Your authority. If Your word says it, Lord, You mean it. And Lord, You don't just want us to be hearers of what You say. You want us actually to change our life accordingly to what is said. Oh Lord, what a storm-filled world we live in right now, Lord God. And we are about to face an election day that's coming up. And Lord, we deserve judgment. As Daniel prayed, he didn't pray it's because of the wicked. Lord, they're already judged because they don't belong to You. Lord, we're in this predicament, Lord, because we have not been the church we need to be around this country. The indictment on us is because we as believers don't act like believers. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, You begin to turn the heart of Your people around, that we would submit to You in all things. Lord, I don't want to just have an election just so we can get a different party in power without a change of heart. And it's not that we pray for those leading our government. Father, we need to pray for ourselves. Lord God, many of us in this world are prideful and we think everything revolves around us. It doesn't. Everything is about You and Your authority. May we submit to that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Have a good week. We got a song.